The celebration of Nowruz goes back 3,000 years. So we have been thinking in the morning service of Abraham, and we're in the same sort of territory of this recognition of the new year, of spring, of the celebration of new life. And it is something that in Iran has been able to be embraced by the faiths of Zoroastrianism and Islam, which have dominated that culture for many, many centuries. The question tonight is, on what basis can we truly celebrate a new day? What is the basis for our hope? In Western culture at New Year, it's not spring, but there is, some optimisms and so on around. But is it just wishful thinking? Is it just hoping for the best? Is there some confidence that we can have that the new day has come and will come, and that what we see in nature moving from winter to spring, from death to life, is something that we ourselves individually and culturally can know as true? And when those from Elam and Media and Parthia first heard the gospel of Jesus, there was a response to the good news of Jesus, because in the gospel that was being proclaimed, there was this declaration. And if you have been, I encourage you, if you're here for the first time, read the whole of this letter to Colossians, and you will see why we celebrate Nowruz, and we will shortly be celebrating Easter, because of what God has done. We read, and they will have heard, and our brothers and sisters have come to know that God, the God who made us, the God who knows us better than we are, than ourselves, the God of history and of the generations of Abraham, of the pyramids and all of that, is the God who has come in the person of Jesus Christ. We have read about him who bears the image of the invisible God and who came in order to make God known to us personally, in order not just to make him known, that we could see his face and touch him, but that he would reconcile us to God. We were thinking about that the other week as we were hearing then about continuing. We were hearing about how Jesus has reconciled all things, that not just things, all things in England or in the United Kingdom or in Western Europe, but in the Middle East and Iran and in India and around the world. He has reconciled us to God through the shed blood of the cross. Because this man has gone through death into new life, we can truly speak of a new day, a new year, a new heaven, a new earth in him. And you must go back and listen to all the great sermons we've heard about Colossians to get us up to this point in chapter 2 and verses 6 and 7. But at this moment in this letter, the Apostle Paul moved from celebrating what God has done. The things that we can celebrate in our culture are wonderful things, and praise God for all of the things that are symbolized here. But we know in almost every area we have failed in marriages, in health, in the way we use the creation, so many different things. But God has come to reconcile us, and Colossians speaks of things. So now what he is saying to this church, Paul has never been to this church in Colossae, which is not in Iran, but in modern day Turkey. He also is almost certainly writing from being in prison himself. And this is a church that is a multicultural church. If you look at chapter 4, we'll get there in a few weeks. You will see the names of different people, and you will see, as he says in chapter 3, verse 11, here, this is in the body of Christ. This is the name that Jesus gives to his church. You are my body, and this body includes Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all. We are here together with our brothers and sisters from Iran because it is Christ who makes us one. The same baptism, the same faith, the same cross, the same resurrection, the same Holy Spirit. And so, and we'll be looking at that in the next few weeks. So come again, if you can, and hear what this is about. Because just in these two verses, he just sets out his passionate plea from his prison cell to these Christians he's just heard about but never met before. Maybe they speak a different language too. And he says to them, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, continue in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And I just want very quickly, because some are just preparing some Iranian food as a part of the continuing celebration, and I don't want to trespass on that, but I want us to hear the word of God. The first thing I want to say to us tonight is, have you received him? You cannot continue in him unless you have received him. And we heard at the beginning of our service in those questions and answers at the baptism how we can receive him. We can repent of our sins, we can reject the work of the evil one, we can renounce the work of darkness. That's not always an easy thing to do, and it may not always come straight away in our encounter with God, but as Jesus makes himself known to us, that is something that will work in us. And we realize something of what this man has done as our Savior, as our Lord, and as the way, the truth, and the life. And we submit to him, we turn to him, and we come to him. And I would like to ask each person here tonight whether you have done that. I know there are some from our Iranian friends who are thinking about baptism, who are wondering about these things, and you may not have done that. I would invite you, as we have heard from our brothers and sisters, to pray and ask him to come and make himself known to you. And if you want to talk with me or Paul or anyone you know here, trust they will be delighted to lead you in a prayer which helps you say those words of the baptism promises. That's how I became a Christian. I was not brought up in a Christian home, but in my early teens, I became a Christian by asking Jesus into my life, because I had heard somebody tell me about who he was and is, and I knew that I needed forgiveness of sins, and I knew he loved me. It was so beautiful to hear Ziba's testimony about Jesus making himself known, that she knew that he had heard her prayer and had answered her prayer. And friends, if we want to continue, we continue as we began. You don't graduate into some superior knowledge. It's not about head knowledge. It's about relationship with Jesus. And as we've received him by repentance, and our whole lives are about finding out about him being Lord, about what it means to submit to him, about what it means to come to him every day. And I want to urge us and you, my brothers and sisters, if you haven't done that to begin, and if you have, to receive tonight the blessing, go back to the beginning and to remember the beginning and to continue in the same way that you began, in crying out to God, maybe in a hospital or in a prison, and finding him speak to you your name and bring to you his forgiveness and peace, and receive into your lives his Holy Spirit again. In order for us to do it, he just focuses on two things, and just for a moment I want to say something about both of them. Because the two things is, he's encouraging them to put their roots deep down in that relationship with Jesus so that the Lord Jesus can build us up. Don't forget, he's talking not just about each one of us, but by all of us. He talks about, as you were taught, the teaching and thanksgiving. And if you want two watchwords from tonight's service, to think about how you continue to walk as you have begun, if you have begun, and please begin if you have not yet begun. Think about what the Lord Jesus is teaching you and wants to teach you, and combine that with thanksgiving. That's why we had our testimonies, because they were expressions of thanksgiving. And as we receive teaching, so we will be able to give thanksgiving. And the two will go on and on and on, and we will grow in him. And there are so many different things that I could say about that. The Bible reading, the groups that we have in our church. Pray for us as we are thinking about bringing a Farsi-speaking Iranian group to do some Bible teaching together from tonight. How we might do that, when we could do that, and whether you would like to be part of that. But one of the things that I just want to thank God for myself in part of testimony is that as we do this together, we find we learn things from one another, and the word of God becomes clearer and deeper and richer. That we, for example, we speak from different languages and different cultures, and yet Farsi brothers, your English is better than my Farsi. Sometimes English Christians are very shocked when they realize Jesus didn't speak English. It's very easy, if you're just in one culture group, to imagine Jesus is quite like you. And as you read in English, you sometimes just domesticate him to be just, you know, a bit in your own mold. And when we meet believers from different cultures and different languages, we realize, oh my goodness, there's so much more that he is doing and saying, and that I need to learn. And that works across every culture. And it's one of the gifts, it's one of the things I most thank God for, as I have encountered by the grace of God brothers and sisters from different parts of the world and different languages. And I have been humbled, and I have been inspired, and I use this moment to pay my tribute to the Iranian brothers and sisters here for the I was saying to Matthew the other day, I don't think I could do what you are doing without homes, without work, without any certainty of a future, and yet you are trusting God and crying out to God. And it is a privilege to be in fellowship with you. So you see, even as we love one another, even as we serve one another, Jesus is teaching us what it meant for him to serve us. And we give thanks. So let's praise God for this call tonight. It's not rocket science. It doesn't mean that all our troubles are going to go away. Paul was in prison. We will see later in Colossians how he speaks about home situations and about different so it's lot to learn. But that's why we are together, because we have, by his grace, received him into our lives. And as that Philippians reading, a beautiful reading, which I think also is appropriate for Nowruz, we are looking not just to the past, but to the future. And what God has established in human history and in human culture and in personal lives, as we've heard and shared tonight, he will go on doing, so that the new day will become the new heaven and the new earth. And that is our goal. That is where we are heading towards, brothers and sisters. And let us be resolved, as the apostle teaches us, to keep our eyes on him. And as he comes and enables us so to, as he teaches us and as we give thanks for his grace in our lives, so may he help us to grow together as his body, that his gospel, so that the whole world in Iran and in England and wherever else may know that speaking of a new day or a new year is not just hoping for the best. It's God's intention, and he came to make it happen in us and through us. Amen. Just a moment's quietness, and then I'm going to invite us in our own language, English or Farsi, to pray as Jesus has prayed and invited us to pray, and then we will sing, and then our time together will be over. But hopefully God is just beginning to open up and deepen our friendships and our love for one another, so that tonight will be also part of that new day in the life of this beloved church of St. Clement's here. So in whatever language you would like to speak, as Jesus invites us to pray, so we are bold to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive others who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So, let's sing. Thanks, Isaac, so much. Thank you for coming. And we're going to sing Be Thou My Vision. It's an old hymn, actually, but it's a great hymn as we press on, okay, in the new year and the new day.